بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation on the collection of Imam al-Nawawi's hadiths in his 40 Nawawi collection, and we have reached hadith number 27. And in this hadith, عن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. On the authority of An-Nawas bin Sim'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, righteousness is good morality, and al-ithm, wrongdoing, is that which wavers in your soul and which you dislike people finding out about. This is related by Muslim, and also in a related narration from Wabisa bin Ma'bad radiallahu anhu qal I came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said جئت تسأل عن البر, you have come to ask about righteousness. قلت نعم, I said yes. قال استفت قلبك, I said yes. He said, consult your heart. البر مطمئنت إليه النفس واطمئن إليه القلب والإثم ما حاك في النفس وترد في الصدر وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. Righteousness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil. And wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and moves to and from in the breast, even though people again and again have given you their legal opinion in its favor. And this is a good hadith. Imam al-Nawawi said, قال الشيخ رحمه الله حديث حسن, a hadith which is Hassan, a good hadith transmitted from the musnads of Imam Ahmad and Ad-Darimi with a good chain of narration. So here the Imam al-Nawawi compiled two narrations here because they are interrelated. So, al-birr in the first hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said al-birr. This is what Allah referred to in Surah Al-Ma'idah. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 2, when he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى and cooperate upon or on al-birr, righteousness and piety. And al-birr is a word which indicates abundant good. This is al-birr. Al-birr, husnul khuluq, good morality, good character with Allah. Also, husnul khuluq, good character with Allah's slaves. As to it being good character and good morality with Allah, it refers to accepting the legal rulings with content and submission. and that the person does not have any kind of unease towards them. So if Allah commands you to do the salah and zakah and siyam and other acts of worship, then you face that with open chest. Open chest. Also, this requires good morality with Allah, good character with Allah or towards Allah in reference to His pre-decrees and universal rulings. Because man is not always happy. He will be faced with times of sorrow and grief and afflictions in his wealth or his family or in himself or in his society. The one who ordained that, the one who pre-decreed that, is Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person should have a good character towards Allah's pre-decrees and universal rulings, and therefore comply with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained, and accept that with content and submission. As to the morality with people, it means to be generous and noble, open-handed, with good towards them, and refraining from harming them. Also being patient regarding the harm they may inflict upon you, and have a cheerful and bright face towards them. Have a cheerful and bright face. This is husnul khuluq with people. This is the good character with people. This is now therefore al-birr. And what is referred to here is the general birr, the general righteousness. There is particular birr, particular righteousness, like birrul walidain, like the righteousness towards the parents, for example. And from that is being good to them, generous and noble towards them in terms of your wealth, in your body, by being able to physically assist them, and also by your prestige, your status, exert that for them, and all ways and means of goodness, exert them towards fulfilling their needs. So therefore, righteousness towards the parents is included in husnul khuluq, in the good morality. Now, al-ithm, the wrongdoing, is the opposite of birr. Al-ithm is the opposite of al-birr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said again in this verse, in Surah Al-Ma'idah 2, verse 2, قال الله عز وجل وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. Cooperate on that, help one another in birr and taqwa, in virtue, righteousness and piety, but don't help one another in wrongdoing, in sin and transgression. And fear Allah, verily Allah is severe in punishment. So what is wrongdoing or sin? The Prophet ﷺ explained by saying, Al-ithmu ma haka fi nafs. Al-ithmu ma haka fi nafs. Sin or wrongdoing is that which wavers in one's self. In one's self. So it wavers, and the person becomes worried regarding it. Not only that, he further explained and said, وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ, which you dislike that people finding about it. Because it is blameworthy and a defect. So you find yourself wavering regarding it, and you don't like for people to know and find about it. Now this statement, and this is very important now in the understanding of this hadith, this statement by the Prophet ﷺ, it is referring to the person who has a clear and sound heart. A clear, pure and sound heart. This is the one who wavers if it is a sin and hates and dislikes for people to know about it. So this is referring to those who have clear, pure and sound hearts. As to those rebelling against obedience to Allah, those of harsh and rock hearts or stone hearts, those are careless. Those are the careless ones. In fact, they may even go openly and act with pride. When they commit the sins and the wrongdoings. So therefore here the statement is not general covering every person, but rather it is particular for those who have pure and sound hearts. For them, if they are about to indulge in a sin, even though they may not know it is, by way of Sharia, you find them wavering and reluctant that people may know of it. This is a general guideline, but it's not a foundation, meaning it is a mark, a sign for the sin in the heart of the believing slave. From the benefits of this hadith, first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam the concise speech, putting statements in few words while having great meanings. Why we say this? Because this is exactly, if you contemplate the saying of the Prophet regarding, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding al-birr, the meaning of al-birr. He said, al-birru husnul khuluq. Righteousness is good morality. This is a concise and strong word and statement. Second, inciting to have a righteous moral character. So, if someone now says, does righteousness contradict or is it in opposition to be angry for the sake of Allah? So if you became angry about concerning someone, at someone, and you become harsh upon him, would this oppose righteousness and good morality? The answer is no, this does not negate, nor it opposes rather the good morality. This is from good morality if it is directed for the purpose of educating and directing. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not seek revenge for himself. However, when the inviolable matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were violated, he was so strong regarding those who would do that. 3. The believer whose heart is pure and sound is the one who wavers in himself regarding wrongdoings, even though he may not know that it is in particular a sin, but rather he wavers regarding that. And the position of the person, if he wavers in himself regarding something, is it a sin or is it not a sin, is to abandon that until it becomes clear. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. Leave that which is doubtful to that which is not doubtful. And don't transgress and exceed the limits. And be stubborn lest you fall in doubtful matters. And the one who falls in doubtful matters falls in haram, as it is affirmed in another hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth benefit is that the person, the believing person, dislikes that people find about his wrongdoings. As to the wicked one, the rebellion, he doesn't care. In fact, some of them are proud, and they go openly and stubbornly exposing their sins, as it is in the case of those wicked ones who travel to lands filled with wickedness and with sins, alcoholic beverages, you name it. Then they come and return proud, saying that they committed, proudly saying that they committed sexual, illegal sex with such and such woman, and that they had wine and drank alcohol. So the sin to them is like a good deed, and they end up mocking the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The like of those is that they will be given respite to repent. If they do, otherwise they are to be killed because they spread mischief. And this is from the greatest mockery regarding the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they come puffing, proudly committing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered to be unlawful, like zina, adultery, and then come and proudly speak about them indulging in drinking the drink for which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the one who drinks it. Where is the deen? Where is the iman of these people? And if these people are treated and punished for deserving what they deserve, then this will be a deterrence for others. The next narration which the collector rahimahullah related was the hadith of Wabisa al-Asadi, who said, I came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I intended that I wouldn't leave anything concerning the matters of righteousness and sins except that I will ask him about it. And there he was with a group of his companions from the Muslims around him, seeking fatwa from him. So I tried to reach him, moving forward, and they were saying, wait, hold, Ya Wasiba. I said, leave me, let me come closer to him. because he is the most beloved of people to me. Let me come close to him. قال, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said then to them, دعوا واصبة, أدنوا يا واصبة, leave واصبة, not واصبة, come forward. Twice or thrice, he said. So I came near to him, and I sat before his hands, and I said, فقال, he said, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, يا واصبة, أخبرك أو تسألني, should I tell you, or you are going to ask me? So I said, no, بل أخبرني, rather you tell me, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال, he عليه الصلاة والسلام said, جئت تسألني عن البر والإثم. You came to ask me about al-ithm, sins, wrongdoings, and al-bir, and righteousness. So Wasiba said yes. So the Prophet ﷺ collected his fingers and began to push with them against my chest and saying, Ya Wasiba, Ya Wasiba, استفتي قلبك واستفتي نفسك وواصبة. Consult your heart. Consult yourself three times. البر, then he صلى الله عليه وسلم added, البر مطمئنت إليه النفس. Righteousness is that about which the soul feels tranquil. والإثم ما حاك في النفس وتردد في الصدر وإن أفتاك الناس وأفتوك. Righteousness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil, and wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and moves to and from in the breast, even though people again and again have given you their legal opinion in its favor. So here he said to him, جئت تسأل عن البر, you came asking about righteousness. He said, نعم. This is an informative statement, in apparently. However, it is an explanatory, meaning seeking explanation. Exclamation. جئت تسأل عن البر. It means you came asking. Meaning, did you come asking about, rather, al-bir? So if someone says, how did it occur to the Prophet ﷺ that this man came asking, intended in his, you know, in his coming there to the Prophet ﷺ to ask him about al-bir? See, we say that these specific matters, one should not ask about them. This is a specific matter, which is possible that the Prophet ﷺ may have received the news about Wasiba coming to ask about righteousness. So when he came to him, he told him, جئت تسألني عن البر, did you come to ask me about righteousness? And it's also possible that this is from the intuitive nature of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So what matters here, that is that these specific matters, it's very difficult that the person comprehends their causes. So he, Wasiba, said yes. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, استفتي قلبك, استفتي قلبك, consult your heart, meaning ask, consult with your heart. And al-istifta, istifta meaning seeking ifta, which means seeking information. Because it is al-ifta, ikhbarun an hukmin shar'i, is information regarding a legal ruling. So the Prophet ﷺ referred him to his heart, and he said, consult your heart. Then he told him, al-birru matma'anna ilayhi al-qalb, matma'annat ilayhi al-nafs. Righteousness is that which the heart is about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil, meaning it settles with peace and tranquility. And so it is like when in the hadith, irka hatta tatma'inna raki'a, make ruku' until you settle with tranquility in your state of ruku'. So whatever settles in the heart and the person is content about, and his heart is open, his chest is open and is tranquil with himself, then stick to that. Don't leave it. This is righteousness. But this is, again, this is لمن كان قلبه سليم ونيته صادقة. This is applicable for the one whose heart is sound and his intention is truthful. As to those who are not like that, whose hearts are not like this, then they are not going to feel comfortable towards righteousness. And that's why you find him, if he begins to act righteously, he will find himself restricted, his chest restricted, and then he will leave it, as if he is like expelled. However, the believer feels tranquil, satisfied, and his chest opens to righteousness. وَالْإِثْمُ, then the Prophet ﷺ defined al-ithm, wrongdoing, and sin is that which wavers in the self and in his chest, meaning in the heart. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ, this is from assertion, like even if people again and again have given you their legal opinion in its favor, again and again and again, this is what it means. So then don't refer therefore to their fatwa, as long as your heart is not tranquil, is not at ease, is not settled to their saying. So then disregard their fatwa. From the benefits of this hadith, the good morality of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, where he precedes the person who comes to ask, with questions which will bring him comfort and feel at ease and so forth. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to him, جئت تسأل عن البر, did you come asking about righteousness? The fourth, referring the permissibility to refer to the heart and to the self, however, with the condition, is that the one who refers to his heart and to himself is the one who is upright on his deen. The one who is upright on his deen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support the one whom he, azza wa jal, knows from him the good intention. He will give him guidance and will support him. The fifth benefit. The mystic Sufis, the Sufis and the like, took from this hadith evidence that experience, quote unquote, which is referred to as al-dhawq, experience, is a dalil shari'i, is a legal evidence, a valid legal evidence. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, استفتي قلبك, consult your heart. So whatever the heart agrees upon and settles to, then it is righteousness. In response, therefore, it is said to them, this is not possible. هذا لا يمكن. لأن الله تعالى, it is because Allah the Most High, أمكر على من شرعوا دينا لم يأذن به الله, denounced and rejected, or denounced, أنكر على, denounced those who legalized matters as part of deen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not permit. And therefore, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denounce cannot be truth in any way. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible that it can be true. So for someone to come and innovate and say by way of experience and innovate things which are not from the deen, and then he says, well, I consulted with my heart, this is impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves. Furthermore, the khitab, the address in this hadith, is for a companion. Keen, a companion, keen. Keen upon adhering to the Sharia. The like of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give aid to him and guide his heart, such that he will not feel at ease or tranquil except to a matter which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not an innovation. Sixth benefit. Person should not be deluded by the fatwas given to him by people. If he finds in himself wavering. So, many people seek fatwa from scholars or students of knowledge, and they give him fatwa. Then he is wavering and doubts. So, does he have the right, or such wavering and doubt? Should be taken into consideration such that he seeks the opinion of another scholar? The answer is yes. Rather, it is mandatory, it's a must upon him to ask another alim if he is wavering regarding the answer of the first one. The seventh of opinion. What's relevant in Sharia is that it focuses upon the evidences, not upon what is popular with people. Because certain things may become popular with the people, and they may give fatwa on that while they have, well, it's not true. So therefore, the criteria lies with the legal evidences. This is the explanation of these two narrations. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And all success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.